Lord, we just want to thank you this morning that we can bring the youth before you, Lord. Thank you for the summer camp. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that lives can be touched, Lord, young people's lives. We thank you, Lord, that the youth, Lord, need Jesus in this country. So we thank you that we can trust you, Lord, for just the seeds that will be sown in young people's lives this week. We pray that they will bear fruit, Lord. We pray that ears would be open to hear you, Lord, this week, that eyes would be open to see what you are doing and what the Spirit is saying. And we thank you, Lord, that we trust you, not only for a nice camp, Lord, not only for lots of fun, but we thank you for fruit, Lord, fruit that will remain, fruit that will change this nation, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you use young people, Lord. You don't use necessarily old people, Lord. You want to use whoever's willing, and we thank you for willing hearts this week. We thank you for responses, Lord, to your call upon their lives. So we pray your blessing and your anointing over the summer camp this week. And we thank you for the privilege that we can send a team as well to join with what you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So wonderful to be with you guys this morning. I hope you're well. Just give me a wave and just say, I am awake. I'm here. It's wonderful to have my parents here as well. I was just, while you guys were praying now, I was just reminded picked up this mic and put it to my mouth. I'll never forget the first time I had the opportunity to preach. It was in Paul in 2006, the end of 2006, exactly 9 years ago, 10th of December about, or just before that. So I phoned my dad on his birthday that year, and I said to him, Dad, I found what I've been called to do. And that's to hold a microphone and to speak to people and to tell people the good news of Jesus. So my dad is here again to witness that which I told him and which God told me, that I'm called for this. So amen. Hallelujah. So you can meet my parents afterwards if you don't know them. They're incredible people, wonderful people. I didn't turn out too bad, did I? Some people will say, nah, he's not so lucky. We'll pray for him. But anyway, pray for me. It would be wonderful. But who's looking forward to holiday? Yeah, who like just wants to go on holiday, okay? Do you know that God can make all things new? Jesus can make a December turn into a January. Wouldn't that be amazing? Everyone's challenged now, eh? Because some of us, we just want to go on holiday now. It's been a long year, but imagine if this was the 6th of January, 2016, amen? Wouldn't that be amazing? Would we cope with that? Or do we need a holiday now? Some people are really challenged now. But I want to encourage you this morning. I really want to encourage, I trust that God would encourage you, that God would excite you for what He is busy with in this nation and this world. Amen. God is moving, guys. God is a God who is building. Amen. So I'm excited to share with you what happened last week on our Free State mission. But I'm going to share with you some principles. I trust that you would be stirred to follow this incredible God who is moving and who is building. Amen. For some of us now, you know, we're challenged with all the stuff in the news, and it's just bad news, and South Africa is what is happening. Has anyone asked that question recently? Where is God in our nation? Has anyone asked that question? Just be honest now. Where is God? Is God doing something? Am I the only one that's asking this question? Or have some of you been asking this question, is God really moving in this nation? I don't know about you. I've been asking that question. And so we see the news and we get a little bit depressed and we get tired and we sort of just want to run away. We just want to go on holiday and hope things get better next year. And hope that the new year brings something new and something fresh and something that's more life-giving than what we hear. So I don't know where you are this morning, but last week, you know, you get this opportunity to travel around the Free State, and just as Haynes said, you get this opportunity to see a little bit of what God is doing in our nation. Very little bit. But then you also see how many towns are just seem to be falling apart. Like you visit these little towns and you just see hopelessness. You just see, is God really here? Does God care about these people? It just looks so broken down. It just looks so falling apart. You wonder if there's hope. But then you hear the voice of the King saying to you, I will build my church. You hear the voice of the awesome Father that we know saying, I will build my church. Did I not promise that I will build my church and that my church will change the world? And that I am busy right now building my church and building you. And you know what? I've chosen you. You're a part of this building. In fact, you are my building as well as my builder. So I'm building into your life and I'm going to use you as a builder. So I'm just going to share a little bit this morning about what God showed us, where he's building, where he's moving, because he is moving. Amen. Whether we go on holiday or not, whether we sleep or not, God is moving and God is a God who is building. And I'm so excited for what God has got in store for us for next year. I'm so excited for where God is moving with us as a church, but just for each of us, individual lives, where God is positioning us to make a change. So 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, and there's a lot of striving about who's of Paul and who's of Apollos, and people are, there's so much division because, you know, I'd rather be of Paul or I'd rather be of Apollos. And Paul says, listen here, all this nonsense, all this division between you two, all this fighting is so stupid. And he starts here in verse 9, or you've got to read the whole verse or the whole chapter to understand the context. But then he puts them into context here and he says, listen here, it's not about who's of Apollos, who's of Paul, because some plant, some water, but God is the one who is building. God is the one who gets the increase. God is the one who gets the glory. So he starts here and he says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So I'm going to stop there for a while and just look at that, because Paul says, listen, yeah, as the believers in Corinth, you guys are all fellow workers with God. You are God's chosen people. You are his fellow workers. So forget about whether you are Apollos or Paul or who led you to Christ, or forget about that. It's all about God. It's not about the people. And he argues that they're both builders and buildings. So he starts off by saying, God's fellow workers, we are working with God, but we're also working for God. Isn't that so? Because sometimes we think that we're co-workers with God, so we're on equal level with God, and we are not. We're not on the equal terms. God is still our master. God is still God. And we are working with God, but we are also working for him. And then he goes on, he says, you're God's field. In other words, God is working in you, he's cultivating you, he's pruning you, so that you can be who I've created you to be. Then he says, you are God's building, which I see as God is working on you. He's making you into something beautiful where he wants to make his dwelling place in your life. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that for a while. God wants to dwell in your body. God wants to dwell in you as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That should change our lives. That should make us think differently about how we go through life. God wants to make his dwelling place in us. We are his building. We are his home. Wants to make us not only into a beautiful field, but he wants to make us into this beautiful building. He's the architect, he's the master designer, building us, building our lives. But you see, not only does Paul say you are God's building, he also says, listen, yeah, you are a builder. Because he says to him, he talks about himself, he says, as a wise master builder, according to the grace of God which was given me, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. And so he's saying here to the Corinthians, listen, not only are you God's building, but you're also builders. And so the challenge for us is not, oh, I'm not a builder. The thing is, I am a builder. It's not about whether you're a builder or not. It's about what kind of a builder are you? That's the question we have to answer this morning. Are we wise builders or are we foolish builders? Are we builders that are building for God's kingdom, or are we building something else? Because all of us have been created to build. All of you have been created to build. It's the same as if I ask you, you know, are you a servant or not? Yes, everyone's a servant. It's just, who are you following and who are you serving? Because all of us are following someone. All of us are serving someone, and that someone could be ourselves. I had an incredible appointment this week with someone that's giving me Pilates classes. That she's like my personal trainer almost. It's such a blessing. The university is so cheap, so there's no one else doing Pilates, I guess, because I'm doing it, so no one else wants to do it. I don't know. But she's training me, and so we've built a good relationship, and I kind of know she goes to church and everything, but I felt, you know, she's going away next year, so I just felt the Spirit saying to me on Thursday, I must ask her a question. And I said to her, you know, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you, who are you following? And so I could see it got a bit awkward because, and then she gave me the perfect religious answer. And she speaks to me in English, but she gave me the answer in Afrikaans, ja, ek volg die Here. It's just like, why am I asking this question? Ek volg die Here. And I said, no, but is that the right answer or is that the true answer? And so I could see it was getting a bit awkward, but we got a good, I said, you know, my heart, I'm not trying to condemn you, I'm just trying to stir a little bit, you know. I like to stir. I like to ask questions because I'm not content with people going through the same old, people missing out on life. And so I asked her that and she's like, are you saying that my answer is wrong? I said, no, I just want to know. Do you know what it means to follow Jesus? Have you read in the Bible go and look, do a search of all the scriptures that talk about following Jesus and just have a look there. And I said to her, a clue, a little tip, Matthew 16:24. I didn't tell her what it is. I said, go read that. And we all know what Matthew 16:24 says. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. It's a bit of a challenge. But anyway, so I left it there and God just did amazing stuff because afterwards when I was leaving, I just felt I must pray for her and her boyfriend. They both work there. And so I prayed for them and she was in tears and the Lord really touched her life. But my point is this, is that who are we following? You know, because we're either good followers or we're bad followers. We're either following Jesus or we're following ourselves or we're following someone else or we're following a vision. But we're all followers. We're all stewards. Some of us are just bad stewards. Some of us are good stewards. So the question is, it's not about whether we're builders or not. We are all builders. But what kind of a builder are you? And you see the rest of the verse here talks about, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, etc., each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So all of us are going to be tested. Our building will be tested because some of us will build with gold, silver, whatever, whatever. And ultimately, God will test our building. God will test our ability to build. And how have we built? You see, today I don't want to focus so much on what kind of a builder we are. I'll end off on that again. But today I want to focus on not so much on us as the builders, but on this God who is building. Because I believe if we get a glimpse of this God who is building, you know what? We will become wise builders. Amen. He makes us into these wise builders that we are supposed to be. He makes us into builders that will change the world. Can I have an amen? So I believe today, hopefully, will be a little glimpse of this God who is building. I trust that you will be encouraged and that you will seek God in this holiday more than ever before. And that you will come back inspired to be a builder in His kingdom. Why? Because He is a builder. So some principles I learned on this mission. So I've got 7 things here that I just want to share with you that I learned about God's building plan. God is the master builder. And what did I learn? What did we as a team learn from this experience? Just in going around the Free State for 1 week, just praying, it seemed like something so odd. But yet God shows us amazing stuff. And I can't convey what I experienced to you guys. You know, you can speak to Haynes and everyone who went, but you're not going to experience it unless you were really there. But I trust that you'll be encouraged by the principles of what God showed us. The first thing is this, is that God is building everywhere. Turn to someone next to you and say, God is building everywhere. Haynes stole my story from Smithfield, okay? No, he just shared another part of the story. But you see, we met up with believers. We met up with mainly believers. Now, obviously, we want to reach the lost and we want to rather preach the gospel to unbelievers. But God showed us on this mission that He's going to show us where He's working and where He's moving. And so, mainly, we met up with believers and God was trying to show us that He was working all over the place. And you know, guess what? If we hadn't gone on this mission, we would not have seen that. Okay? We would not have seen these little glimpses of where God is moving. So we come to Smithfield, so we don't know where to eat because we're on our way to Gharib and we just want to get to Gharib because it feels like a little bit of a holiday. We've had a long week and Friday afternoon seems like a good place to be at Gharib. But we've got to pass through this awesome town called Smithfield. Met 3 F's. Smithfield with 3 F's. Okay? Because that's how they say it there. Some of you will wake up just now. You've got to make a TH sound like a double F. Eh? Learn to speak English with an Afrikaans accent. There's a course that you can do. Learning how to make the TH sound like a double F. But I'm getting distracted here this morning. But you see, we get to Smithfield, and yeah, we get to this place where God is doing something incredible. There's a whole restaurant being dedicated to God, and people are excited to walk with God and to move with God. And they just talk about how lives have already been changed, and they're so encouraged that we come here. They want to connect with us. They want to do our Bible school maybe or whatever. But I can just see God is moving. It was so amazing to pray for the Domini there because, you know, I can see he's carrying a load. You know, these small towns, the Domini's carrying the town on his shoulders, you know. Because he hasn't got a lot of helpers always. Because people want to sit in church and the Domini must do everything. He must come and make our coffee and pray for us and fix everything. This guy is so super talented. He can do everything. But it's so amazing to see he's got some support here in this shop. These people are wanting to change the world. I want to say this morning, God is moving where we even don't know that He's moving. And I can tell you, even when there are places that God has not heard or that people have not heard the gospel, you know what? Jesus is already preparing the way. Jesus is already preparing. He's already building there. He's already going to send someone to preach the gospel that someone will hear the gospel, but He is building. Amen. Because it's His mission. And it's His people that He loves. So I've heard stories of people being met by Jesus in their dreams, in their visions, where people wouldn't go because it's too violent there, or it's, you know, God knows. And so He meets them personally. Pastor we went to in India a couple of years ago, Jesus met him personally in a dream, revealed Himself to him. He cannot stop talking about the incredible love in the eyes that he saw, the Jesus that he met. See, I want to say this morning that God is building everywhere. And you know what? God does not need us. But God chooses to use us. And that's the second thing we learned, that God is building everywhere, but guess what? God invites us to build with Him. Amen. God invites us to build with Him and to be co-workers, to be co-laborers with Him. God chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So yeah, we get to a little town called Cornelia. Anyone heard of Cornelia? Or anyone not heard of Cornelia? Just say, who has not heard of a place called Cornelia? I didn't know there was a town called Cornelia. In the Free State. And we did research of all the history and how the town started, so we can give you all that information if you really want. But he has this town of Cornelia. I think it's some governor's wife or something. Haynes, can you remember? But anyway, so we get to the small town, and yeah, we meet a woman of peace. Her name is Zelda, and she's like, they've got a vision. She's connected with other people. They want to change that whole community because it's a small community. It's very small, so you can kind of change it. A few people can change that community. So they're building like greenhouses and what you call these things, you know, plants, and they're growing stuff and vegetables, and they want to feed the community. They want to rebuild houses. There's churches they're working with. This whole community is so clean. And the lady just tells us, you know, there's no crime here. It's like, well, not no crime, but like it's such a peaceful place. People seem to get on with each other. And yes, there's all sorts of strongholds, but God is moving in this little town of Cornelia. And yeah, we had the privilege to eat lunch with this incredible woman of faith. So we prayed at various places, and we prayed stuff that she said was so spot on. God was showing us that stuff, and we prayed. We didn't know beforehand, but we prayed with the church there and with church leaders. They encouraged them, and then we met this farmer who was, yeah, in Bloemfontein. He studied in Bloemfontein, and we connected them with Zelda and said, listen, yeah, help. You know, you guys are in the farming community. Help with finances or help with whatever, but God is inviting us to build, to rebuild the walls. Isaiah 61:4 says that God uses the people that He has changed to be the rebuilders. God has used the people that He's healed. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight, all that stuff. Jesus came to heal people, and He said, those people, the people that I've healed, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will rebuild and repair the ruined cities. So God builds people, but He invites us, and while He builds us, He invites us to be His builders. So I want to say this morning that you and I are part of God's builder, part of God's building, but the question is, what are we rebuilding? What are we giving with the stuff that we have been given? You know, the great life that we've been given, the salvation that we've been given. What are we rebuilding? What are we restoring? What are we repairing? God is inviting us to build with Him. See, by no means did we see everything that God was doing. Hey? God must have been doing, is doing incredibly great things, more than we could have seen. But we were just given a glimpse. And we didn't plan these things. God set most of them up. Some of them we did plan, but God set most of these divine appointments up for us. See, what happens if we didn't go? What happens if we didn't go and see what God was doing? Guess what? We would have missed out. You see, God shows us He's building when we go. God shows us what He's doing when we go. Isn't that so? Jesus was always on the move on this earth, and when He walked the earth, He moved. And there's a principle here. Jesus wants us to move with Him. I want to say this morning, unless we get out of our comfort zones, unless we get out of our same old, you know what? We will miss what God is doing. We'll easily miss it. And I'm so thankful that we did what God wanted us to do. We could see that He's moving, and He gave us hope and encouragement and said, I'm with you. Another story. So we're getting to Boeterville. Anyone know where Boeterville is? So we didn't know anyone there. We didn't have any connections there. We're passing through. We had lunch there, and then Haynes, the Lord showed Haynes, no, you know what? He actually knows a teacher there that's teaching at the school, but we don't know how to get a hold of her. So let's go pray at the school. Let's go pray at Worst School Boeterville. So we get there. It's closed. One gate was open, but it looks like there's no one there. School is closed, okay? Holiday is happening in Boeterville at the school because there's no one there. So we go in, and we sort of took our fork, because we took a garden fork to actually physically loosen the ground as a prophetic act that we're loosening the ground for God to move in certain places. So we sort of dig the ground there. We didn't make too much of a mess, okay? They wouldn't have seen it. But then we pray and then we're like finished, and yeah, two schoolboys come walking down. Like there's no one there. There's just no life. And yeah, two schoolboys start walking down, and we see them. And so Jan, anyone know Jan Kirill? Jan puts on his youth face, you know. We said to Jan, Jan, put on your youth face. If we're working with school kids, Jan, you're the youth guy, you know. So Jan goes over to them, and he just greets them, and when we chat to them and everything. Yeah, it turns out that these guys tell us for 3 years they've been praying for revival in the school. They're both spirit-filled Christians. What are the chances? In Boeterville, okay. I don't know what they go to, some awesome church there, because these people have got fruit. They standard 9s, grade 11s, there's... These are leaders. So we pray for them. We give the one guy a word, and the other guy's like, you know, it's like so weird. Like Jan's praying for the one guy, and I'm like, open my eyes and look, and he gives a word for this other guy, and his friend is like, going, it's amazing. But obviously he can't do it too, you know, he can't get too excited, because this is like, but I could see he's spot on, because he knows what's going on in the other guy's life. But they so love Jesus, and they've been praying for the school, and we say, thank you, Lord. We see what you're doing. See what you're doing as we go. God shows us when we go. And I want to say, you guys are going on holiday this week, this next month. I mean, most of us. Anyone not going on holiday, we'll give you off in January, okay? But you're gonna go to places where you're gonna say, God, show me what you're doing here. I don't want to just sit by the beach and chill, and sometimes we have to close our eyes on the beach, okay? But rather don't open your eyes for what the flesh can see. Say, God, what can you show me? What is your spirit doing? What are you doing in this holiday resort? What are you doing in people's lives? God wants to show us as we go. And then number four. This is awesome, God. This is church. God is using a team to build His house. God is using a team. And I just want to thank the four people that were with me on this team, because each one brought an incredible, unique gift. Each one blessed the team, and each one blessed other people with the gifting that they had. Each one had a unique gift, and it was so awesome. You know, you think we're a bunch of prayer warriors. No, we weren't just prayer warriors. Some of us love to reach out to people, to talk to people. Others love to make food. Others love to make sure the car's packed properly. Others love to make sure everything's running smoothly. Whatever. God used each of our gifts to make sure that his kingdom was going to come. And that's a picture of church for me. God wants to use each one of us in church. He wants to use each of our gifts to build an incredible building. I want to ask you, do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what God has given you? Do you know what your part is in the team? Romans 12, Ephesians 4 talks about all the different gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's lots of other gifts. Don't just limit them to those three gifts. Because if we say, oh, there's ministry gifts, there's Father gifts, there's Holy Spirit gifts, so I'm not in any of those, so no, I haven't got any gifts. There's lots of other gifts. The question is, are you willing to bring your gift? Because I know God is going to use our family next year. He's going to use this church. It doesn't matter how big or small the church is. It's all about how willing the church is, how much faith. Exactly what Tian said. If we shout with one voice, if we're in unity and we say, God, together we're going to do this, then God will move. I just want to share some more exciting news for next year. We're organizing a first year service. Not show for now. All the churches on campus. And so we're getting four speakers next year on the 17th of January in the Sunday morning on the Roy Plain. We're going to have an open air service with Wade van Niekerk, the athlete, is going to share his testimony. Opa Mahoji, the rugby guy. Philip Erasmus, some of you know him. And Miss Free State, Martinique Ferreira, also got an awesome testimony. All in different churches. But God showed me this last, well, the beginning of the year, not last year, he showed me that we must have a panel discussion. We must have different people sharing their testimonies, not just one preacher preaching. I mean, that is blessed as well. But different people sharing their stories from different walks of life, different ways they've come to know the Lord. But we are so excited because I can see now we've made the post and we're starting to send it out. And I'm getting phone calls from the university because I sent it to some people. I sent it to the rector and the rector was like, this is awesome. Please take note, he says to his secretary. Take note of this date. And another guy in the university phones me and says, listen, yeah, I want to send this to, send me the other poster, send me all this stuff because I want to market it throughout the university. I want to send it to the head communications manager, yeah, or the head of marketing because we must get this thing out. And unfortunately, he's a Christian as well. You see, God has placed people strategically in the university. God is connecting us with incredible people. But my point here is that this is a team effort. This is not just a shofar thing. This is, let's get the churches together and let's wake up the body of Christ and say, God wants to make a stand on this campus. He wants to say, you know what? Jesus is changing real people. Real lives are being changed by a real Jesus. And I'm trusting for amazing stuff next year. I'm so excited. Like, I can't go on a holiday because I just want this to come, you know. That we can see lives change, that we can see his kingdom come. But you see, he's using a team, and I can see how people are getting excited, how people are starting to wake up out of their boxes and say, God is moving. I want to be part of this. God wants to use us. He wants to use a team. Number five. This is an amazing story. Our last day in Kimberley. So now we're tired, and we're like, let's just go through Kimberley and get back to Bloom, and the mission is done. The God's never done, okay? God has never done. God wants to use every little bit of time that we give him. So we stop in Kimberley and Yodia. Some of you know Yodia. She's our connection there. She says, let's go have lunch on the square, on the park. There's a park there under the trees. Let's go and have a picnic there and then we can just pray for Kimberley and then we're done. So we do that. So I said to Haynes, and Haynes was our praise and worship guy. That's amazing. Haynes is like talented. Okay? Haynes can preach. He can play guitar. He can teach. He can organize. He's like a super organizer. Haynes is like awesome, eh? Haynes said yes to God. That's why Haynes is awesome. So Haynes is like our praise and worship guy. So we get the guitar, and Chris is actually with us. Chris and Vilmarie joined us on the Saturday, so he's also there. I said, come, let's worship the Lord here in this square, in this park. And then I like felt the Lord saying, you know, are you guys ready to minister now? Because there's kids here. And I said, are you ready for kids ministry? Because the kids are going to come. They love music. So we start worshiping the Lord. Here come the kids. Here come some younger people. And you know the older people are always the slowest? Here come some older people as well. Standing around us. Just worshiping the Lord together. So we prayed for these guys. We made sure all of them know Jesus. And then we said, you know what? God wants to use you. And I said, are there any musicians here? Yeah, almost all of them are musicians. The older people. So I said, you know what? In your church, you do this. Take church out of church. Take worship out of church. Go worship in the open. Lift up the name of Jesus. John 12:32, God says, Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, when the Son of Man is lifted up from the earth, you know what? He's going to draw people to himself. There's two P's that are important. And it's not pick and pay, okay? P and P. Prayer and praise. Same thing happened in Clarence. There's some people that are connected with Clarence here this morning. Clarence is awesome. We prayed amazing stuff. Clarence, that square, we prayed on the square there. Worshipped on that square in Clarence. I just felt the Lord saying, man, we must have like praise and worship here. Get big names, big speakers on a Friday night when everyone's out there in the restaurants. We praise and worship the Lord in Clarence. I'll speak to Gareth still about that. Maybe Gareth can organize it. We'll help. But there again, we praise, and the other guy's coming, and I just said, nah, come join us, man. I could see he was like walking slowly to where we were, and I said, come join us. I said, you know Jesus? Yes, you know. I said, you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. Turns out he's in Gareth's church. His name's John. So he comes to join us on the square. But you see, people are drawn when Jesus is lifted up. People are drawn when we pray. People are drawn when we worship him. So I'm so encouraged, and I want to thank you guys for praying for us. We really encouraged, we experienced encouragement in the Spirit. We experienced being lifted up by all you prayer partners. I want to so thank you. See, this morning I want to say God builds through prayer and he builds through praise. That includes worship. I just used the two P's. So I want to ask you this morning, how is your P&P life? Not your shopping life. How's your prayer and how's your worship? How's your praise? So I want to say, so exciting. God is building through prayer and through praise. Second last one, number six. God builds with faith. And he builds with obedience. I want to say that this mission was only possible because God said we needed to do it. It wasn't a good idea. It was truly a God idea. And God said we must do it. And so we did it. And you know what? The open doors and the incredible opportunities for future such missions are just endless. Another story, we're in Zastron the morning. So we leave, we camp there and we leave there and we're sort of driving out, and then I'm thinking, must we pray now outside the town? Or then I just felt, no, we must turn around. We must pray at the gate, at the where it says there's like a big thing over the street there which says welcome to Zastron or whatever. So we pray there. So we stop next to the road, get out our guitar, and you know, we had the three things we had to remember. Because we picked up a stone from every place just to, as a reminder. So it was clippy shofar uli. Those three things. Like oil for anointing, the shofar to blow, and then the clippy that we had to pick up. So it's uli, clippy, shofar, or whatever. That was our little thing in every town. So now we get the guitar out and we start to worship. And Yazdas, well, no, we didn't even start yet. So Yazdas Uem, he pulls along in his Fortuner. You know, the Free State guys with their Fortuners, that's like the standard. Pulls across, yeah, it's alles alright, he saw, you know. Yeah, no, we're fine. We're just praying for the town. And he looks and he sees the guitar there. And he's like, okay, listen here. You guys finish praying? You're coming to my house now. We're gonna have some tea and have a chat. This is great what you guys are doing. So he drives off. And his house is literally, if we had stopped further out of the town or whatever, we would have missed this guy. But we had to be right there because that was the road opposite where he lives, his house is. So we finish worshiping, we pray for the stuff, we even minister to a couple of people in the houses nearby there, and then we finish, we go to this guy's house. We spend 2 hours, 1.5 hours there, and we're about to leave Zastron. God sets us up for this appointment with this old man, ex-school teacher, really loves the Lord, tells us his life story, and then he says, come, we must sing together. Sing us some of it. He's Afrikaans. I look in Zastron, hulle praat net Afrikaans daar. So now we're going to sing him some. We said, no, we don't know a lot of Afrikaans. So now sing your song. I just want to hear. But he just loves people. His wife is out baking pancakes at the church or something like that. He just wants to make us tea. He finds the rusks and the tea somewhere, you know, because the men don't normally know where all the tea stuff is. He said, yeah, ek sukkel 'n bietjie so. Help. And then Marguerite goes to help make the tea. Maar kom in, ons gaan gesels. So we chat with him, we pray, I mean, we worship there and we sing songs, and he's, yes, man, there's mooi liedjies hier, you know. And he's loving this, and he shows us now he's actually, he sort of tunes in guitars, and he just loves musical instruments. He starts playing on the piano with us there, and we sing Amazing Grace, and sing all these songs, and we end up praying for him. And tell you, when he started to pray for us, I just felt the Holy Spirit is there. This guy knows Jesus. This guy knows the Lord. Doesn't matter what church he's in. And he says, you know what? Next year, you can all stay at our house. Come back again. Come stay with us. You see, if it wasn't for that obedience, that little bit of obedience, hearing God's voice, that this is where we must stop, this is where we must do things. And we had it throughout our mission. We had to say, okay, no, we're not quite finished yet. We're stopping here, we're praying here again, we're anointing this place, pray against specific stuff, whatever. We just had to be obedient as God showed us. And what it did for me again is that it encouraged me. And yes, on a mission, you're so covered by prayer and you're so like in the spirit and everything. But God said to me, this is what life is about. This is the Christian life. It's not church life and mission life and then like your work life. And this is life. Life is being obedient to God in the little things. When the Spirit of the Lord moves and says, this guy I want you to speak to, or this guy, or stop at this place, or pray here, then we do that. And God builds. God does amazing things. God does over and above what we even put our faith out for. The Christian life is one of faith and obedience. It's simple. It's what is God saying? And are you doing that? And I want to ask you this morning, what is God saying to you now? I know it's a challenge. You know, I ask that to people and like, I don't know, then there's very general answers. But what is he really saying to each one of you? What is he saying about next year to you? What is he saying about your future? What is he saying about your calling? And are you taking steps just in obedience to where God wants you? Because he builds through faith and he builds through obedience. The last one is a little bit of a challenge. Because now we're getting back to the question again. Now we're getting back to the choice again. And God is building and God is awesome. But you see, not all believers are wise builders. Not all believers are wise builders. We prayed for a guy in church, and I won't say where and who it is. So I'm not condemning the guy, but I asked him a question. He's in the ministry, he leads a church, and I asked him a question. I said, you know, what is God saying now? Because I knew, you know, sometimes to ask questions to people, you know, they give the right answers. I just asked him, what is God saying to you now? I'm not condemning the guy at all. I miss it many times as well, but then he said something, and in my spirit, I'm thinking, God, what is God thinking now? And he said, no, no, we must just go on. Just do the same things over and over again. And I'm like, no. I'm glad you're honest. I didn't say that. In my heart, I'm just like, is that really going to make a difference, doing the same thing over and over? And I was wondering, what is God saying? Because God wants to do a new thing. God is always into doing new things. It's not like we've got to make changes for the sake of change. But God is not into the same old, same old. Because you know that saying that goes, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always got. But it's about what is God saying. And so not all believers are wise builders. And the same goes for us. I'm not knocking anyone. I'm looking at us here this morning. Because we are the same. No, what is God? No, we just carry on. Just do the same old, and hope that God does something different. And I believe we've got to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I believe we've got to go back to number 6. What is God saying and what are we doing? The choice is not about being a builder or not being a builder. It's about whether you're a wise builder or a foolish builder. But you see, I want to ask again, what if we always walked by faith? What if we really knew this amazing God? What if we really knew this God who is building? I don't think we'll be foolish builders. Matthew 7, my last scripture, and then we're going to pray and take communion together this morning. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So I'm just holding before you this choice again this morning. This choice of, are we going to hear the sayings of God? And obviously, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's all about the kingdom. Lots of stuff there. To do all those sayings is like, it's not just a few tick boxes, it's a lifestyle. I mean, we all know Matthew 5, 6, and 7 out of our heads, but do we really do it? Do we know this God who's so amazing? A couple of weeks ago, we camped at Aldam. Some people will know that experience that we had. And the wind was so intense that night, we were about to go to sleep. The wind was so intense and it blew basically only Sean and Zoe's tent held. Okay, the rest of our tents were blown down. We had to like pack up our kids in the middle of the night because the wind just didn't stop and it was like literally blowing tents flat. Like the thin tents, the tents with the thin wires or the thin tent rods. But the solid tents that were like hammered into the ground were standing. And like I'm undoing my tent and like packing up the kids and it's quite stressful. Eventually we got everything, but I mean like stuff was, you know, you leave your stuff outside, some of the stuff under the gazebos. The gazebos are blowing down and the tent is blowing down and stuff is falling on, blowing all over the place and it's just a scramble to get the kids and it's dark. But I'm sort of holding my tent and I'm busy undoing it and I'm thinking, you know, this is like the story. Do we build our houses and our tents on the rock? Or do we build it on the sand? And I believe we're moving into times when the winds of the Spirit are going to blow and they're going to test us of whether our lives are built on the rock of Christ, our lives are really founded on Christ and founded on the things of Christ, and that we hear His sayings and then we actually do it. We don't only hear His sayings and not do it. We truly live lives pleasing to Him. The Spirit of the Lord is going to test us through these tough times. But He's always going to call us back and say, just build. Build on my rock. Build on me. See, I really believe if we know this amazing God who is building, who's moving, who's busy changing the world, if we know Him, then we will just slot in with what He's doing. We'll just become wise builders. But you see, there is always a choice. And that's why I left us with the scripture that there is a choice to be a wise builder or a foolish builder. Jesus gives us that choice. Doesn't force Himself upon us. Gives us the choice to truly be in line with Him. And so I want the ushers to hand out communion this morning. We're going to take communion right now. We're just going to consider where we are in terms of this great master builder who we know. We're going to consider if we really know Him and we really know what He's doing, you know what? Life is going to be awesome. Life is going to be one amazing adventure. And at times we do miss Him and at times we make mistakes and we fall back and that's fine. This amazing builder loves us too much because He knows that we are His building. We are His living stones and He wants to take us out of the place where we struggle. He wants to take us out of our misery, out of our stress. And He wants to say, you know what? I just want to put you back on my rock again. I just want to put you back on my foundation. I want you to know me. I want you to know what I'm doing and not do stuff, but first know me. And out of that place of knowing this incredible builder and knowing that we are His building, then we come and we start to build and repair and restore. So I want to say this morning that I know, in conclusion, I know a God who is building. And I've seen it again this last week, and it was just confirmation because I sort of knew it, but I'm just seeing so clearly again that God is building His church. God is building our lives. So I know a God who's building everywhere. I know a God who invites us to build with Him. I know a God who shows us His building when we go. I know a God who uses a team to build. And a team obviously consists of lots of individuals. Now, I know a God who builds through prayer and through praise. That's why we do it Sunday after Sunday. We have times for prayer. We have times for praise. Because God is building. And I know a God who builds with faith and obedience. And if we know and follow this God, we're going to see what He's building. Amen. We're going to see what He's building and where He's working. So the question this morning is, are you a wise builder? Or do you need God to come and just give you wisdom again? Reposition you? So let's all close our eyes. If you've received your communion elements, let's just close our eyes and the band can come forward as well. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you're an awesome builder, God. We want to thank you that you're a wise builder, Lord, and you want us to become wise builders, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us the choice to do your sayings, Lord. Not only to hear them, Lord, but to do them. But we thank you, Lord, that we can follow a God who's building amazingly. Thank you that it's not up to us, Lord, that we don't have to try to do stuff, Lord. You come and create a slipstream for each one of us, Lord. Thank you for each life represented here this morning, each life that has unique paths to follow, Lord, unique backgrounds, Lord, unique testimonies. Lord, thank you that you take a path that was totally contrary to you and you start to straighten it out and you make us follow your path. Lord, you don't make us, Lord, you invite us. Thank you that you give us the choice this morning, Lord. Because you are building, that you give us a choice to first of all become your building, and then to be your builders. So we thank you for the cross of Christ that is at the center of it all, that makes it all possible, that makes that transition between us doing stuff for you and us doing stuff with you, Lord. That you remain the master of our lives. You remain the king of our lives. So I trust that you're encouraged this morning. I trust that you're encouraged by this God who is moving, who is working, who is building. When we sleep, when we go on holiday, when we actually don't care about the kingdom, then he's still moving. He's still faithful. He just wants to show us. And I believe God wants to show some of us, even in this holiday, incredible stuff of what he's doing. Even in the spirit, but also in the natural, where we're going to see stuff, testimonies of, just like we saw on the mission, God is busy working throughout the hopelessness that we many times see around us, throughout the desperation. God is raising up people. Lord, this morning as a church, Lord, we almost want to say, Lord, we want to, Lord. We want to be part of your army that is standing up amidst all the chaos and standing up amidst all the stuff, Lord. And we want to testify that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is moving ahead of us. So Lord, this morning some of us even have to repent, Lord, of negative talking, Lord, and just almost depression and negative thoughts, Lord. We want to lose hope, Lord, but this morning we encouraged again, Lord, that you are calling us to a place of hope. You are calling us to a place of life.